Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
With John Kennedy Motors Clonmel, the home of Toyota Hybrid in Tipperary. With incredible fuel economy and great finance offers, we are making the change even easier. Visit johnkennedymotors.ie. Toyota, built for a better world.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another edition of Extra Time. We're here until 8 o'clock this evening. You're tuned to Extra Time with Ronan Quirk, and we'd love to hear from you. Our text number is 083-311-3311. You can also get us on the Tip FM Facebook page, or if you prefer Twitter, you can get us on... Our Twitter handle is at Tip FM Sport, and that text number again is 083-311-3311. Later in tonight's show, we'll be speaking to County Board Secretary Tim Floyd on his convention report. We'll also be speaking to the outgoing chairman of the Tipperary Football Board, Joe Hannigan, who looks back on his five-year term of office. Sean Tobin, Clonmel Athletic Club, will be joining us after his first appearance in a men's senior international cross-country in the European Senior Championships that took place in Slovakia. Or was it Slovenia? I'm open to correction on that. It's either Slovakia or Slovenia. That took place over the weekend. John Long, who's the manager of Nina Ormond, will also be joining us. A lot of rugby to talk about. Congratulations, incidentally, to Kilfeacle. They're into an All-Ireland final. And more about that in due course. Also soccer with Jamie before we go off air this evening. But let's start with a bit of hurling for you, because Tipperary, as you know, pretty much dismantled Laois in a very much one-sided affair. In Puckon on Saturday afternoon, it finished 3-27 to 12 points. I suppose the big highlight being Ger Brown, scoring 3-7, as it was a fairly facile victory for Tipperary in their opening, if you like it, their opening challenge match of the year. I don't think we'll be reading too much into it. But a lot of people obviously away at the All-Stars and what have you, so it was very much an experimental side, and one that Declan Fanning was pleased about. But he obviously comes with a health warning, bearing in mind what he had available to him. But Declan Fanning spoke to Stephen Gleeson after the game in Puckon on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely so. We're, you know, we're not long back training, you know, and it's a heavy period for the team at the moment, you know, between on-field stuff and gym sessions, and, you know, and you're trying to get a little bit of hurling into them as well before the Christmas. So, you know, it's our first game, and we saw some real positive things, I suppose, from a group, we'd say, that haven't really nailed down a spot on this team as such. You know, maybe from 1 to 15, there was very few out there today that you could say has that done. So from our point of view, trying to build a panel, you know, for the way the Munster Championship is next year, it was positive.
Looking at it, some players really shone there up front, Paul Shanahan and, of course, Ger Brown, the big star of the show. And right throughout the team, you saw a lot of guys that just did the right thing at the right time.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. As I think this time of year, I don't think you have a star as such in any position, but guys doing the right thing and going to the ball in the right manner and, you know, doing things right with it. You know, that's what you're looking for. You know, Jerry was lucky to be on the end of a few balls there where he put him in the net for us. But there's really hard work going on throughout the field today, which was a massive positive for us.
Looking at it now, you've got a whole new campaign, really. The league starts in January. It's going to be a big ask, I suppose, to just get the timing of everything right this year, because you've extra games to consider now as well.
Yeah, of course you have. You know, and the league will start in late January for us, and we'll be five in a row then in that, you know, and hopefully you could see yourself in a quarter final or a semi final, you know, so there's going to be plenty of games ahead. That's why we're trying to emphasise with the lads, you know, that it's a real panel effort this year, and that's something you hear every year from a management team, but more so this year. I think come the championship next year, you know, you're going to use 26 players without a doubt throughout, you know, those 4 or 5 weeks in the Munster Championship, and we'll see that early this year in the league, and it's something we'll need to be doing in the league as well.
What are your thoughts on the new club structure and Tip? Like, you're looking at April for the clubs, and back then the end of the year, some counties like St Clair aren't playing any championship in April. It's going to be a very busy period for your players.
Yeah, it's going to be very tough on an inter-county player next year. You know, you'll be going straight from your league into your club championship, and straight from your club championship into a Munster championship. You know, and I feel for the players really that, you know, it's going to be a tough time for them. Our job is to make sure that they're in the best condition they are, not alone maybe to hurl for Tip, but, you know, that to get through that club period as well. We have to be very, very careful during that period as well, you know, and, you know, it's the one group of players we have, and, you know, it's going to be difficult, but I think there's nothing we can do now, only try and get through it as best we can.
Looking at it, you're only a few weeks away from that. What's your plans over Christmas? Will you work away throughout the Christmas period?
Yeah, we'll train up to the Christmas period. We'll give them their week off and we'll get back again training then straight away after Christmas. You know, I think that's what we need to do now. And the lads don't mind any time you give these boys a period or a break. You know, they're guys that look after themselves anyway, so we're looking forward to, you know, training through that period.
That's Declan Fanning speaking to Tip FM's Stephen Gleeson after Tip's win over Laois in a challenge match in Puckon on Saturday. Stephen also incidentally caught up with Tipperary's new goalkeeping coach, Kenny Dunn, who reflected on the victory as well.
Yeah, good win, good start. First outing of the year, Stephen. So we put up a nice score there, and a lot of new players involved. So, you know, good to get off to a winning start and all go then for next Wednesday night.
Looking at it, Ken, you're going in now with Tipperary. You have a new role, exciting role, and a good venture to be with the Tip Seniors.
Yeah, it's a big gig, and delighted to be asked. And you know, it's new for me, you know, but I'm looking forward to the challenge ahead. I've lots to learn, and hopefully I can give a little bit back to the goalkeepers as well and to the backroom team. So really looking forward to it. It's obviously a great setup, and I'm looking forward to working and learning from the best players and from a really good backroom team.
You learn a lot, I suppose, when you're playing with the best, and it brings the best out in yourself. Maybe when you're involved with, you know, one of the top teams in Ireland, you know, in the top two or three anyway.
Yeah, without a doubt. Like, it's Tipperary, you're gunning for major honours every year, and to be involved with that kind of a setup is huge. You know, everything is done to a tee, players are looked after well, everything is organised, and you have whatever you need. And you know, I'm really looking forward to getting stuck in, and you know, it's going to be building it from today, you know, and building it up to the 28th of January when the league starts. So that's what the aim is, to get these players ready for the end of January.
Big new type season, I suppose, starting earlier. Everything is that little bit earlier, and we have a different Munster Championship. What are your thoughts on it all?
It's going to be it's new for everybody, obviously, but I think it's going to be a huge challenge. The league, if you get to the league final, you know, you're going to be playing 8 weeks out of nine, and that's massive. Like, so you're going to need a big panel. You're going to be using a lot of players, and then there's a little break for club championship, and then it's going to be hell for leather then for Munster Championship, 4 weeks in a row, and that's going to take its toll on a lot of players. It's, you know, will we get 8, 9, 10 players that can play 4 weeks in a row? It's doubtful, you know what I mean? It's going to be hard on the bodies, and we're going to need a big panel for that for sure. But we have to be ready for it, and it's a challenge for us, and you know, we're going to give it our best shot, and hopefully we can succeed and come out with Munster.
April in looks like the month for the clubs, but you've seen it from both sides, club player and county player, and it's going to be very a crowded calendar, I suppose, for players, and player welfare is going to be paramount.
I don't know what the inter-county players are going to do. It's like, we're going to have to manage them during the league probably a little bit. They'll be playing with their clubs 2 or 3 weeks in April, so they're not getting a break. And it's going to be very, very difficult. Injuries is going to be a big thing this year to try and avoid injury. With all the games that are involved, they've introduced a quarter-final in the league as well, and that's a strange one for me, you know what I mean, when they're talking about player welfare. So, you know, it's just more games for these inter-county players, and it's going to be a very demanding year, so it's going to be tough.
That's Ken Dunn reflecting on Tipperary's victory over Laois in a challenge match this weekend. But interesting what he has to say there about player welfare and managing players. And we might come and touch on that in a few moments. But Tim Floyd, who's the County Board Secretary, joins me on the line. Good evening to you, Tim.
Good evening, Ronan.
And all the happiness of the season to you and yours and your family and all the rest. And wish you well. Tim, as always, a very detailed report. And I suppose when you look back on the playing year that was 2017, it's a case of what might have been, not only for the late Joe Canning point against us in the Galway semi-final, but also perhaps the minor hurlers, which for me perhaps was the highlight in terms of excitement during the course of this year.
Yeah, I suppose you're looking at that when our seniors didn't win in All-Ireland. I suppose you're looking for other areas where, you know, there were highlights. And the minors definitely was. That drawn game in Simple Stadium was a thriller, really. You know, I mean, in high scoring and top-class hurling. And, you know, the replay in Cork was nearly equally as good. Unfortunately, we didn't. Cork went out in the end. But as you know, you have plenty of highlights. You know, the footballers, I suppose, the victory up in Armagh and following that up then with the league final victory over Louth. You know, they were great games, and then winning against Cavan in the qualifiers. So you know, there's other alternatives too. You know, you can't. It's not all about senior hurlers either.
No, no, I appreciate that, and I think you're right to reference the Armagh victory for the footballers, and then of course winning in Croke Park, which is always, whenever that happens, it's always a good day. I was speaking to Michael Burke last week here on Extra Time, and he cited the Fáil Alec Reid tournament up in Belfast as one of the highlights of his tenure as County Board Chairman, and I know it makes your report as well. But it seems like that event captured a lot of hearts and minds.
Yeah, and we've given a lot of space to it, I suppose, in the report and in the book, the convention booklet, you know, with a lot of pictures from it. And yeah, it was a very special occasion, and it was an initiative, I suppose, that started out about 2 years ago, and it was carried through, and we had the backing of Croke Park, we had the backing of the cross-border partnerships in the government, and it was a great occasion. It was a very momentous weekend, and, you know, something the players really bought into, which surprised me, you know, that they really... You know, everything that was done, you know, they attended Mass in Clonard Church, they attended the meal and function that was honouring Father Alec on the night before, and all the various speeches. So it was very enlightening for everybody, and I'm delighted that the players bought into it. And we actually, Belfast City Hall, we met the Lord Mayor of Belfast and we exchanged gifts with him. So overall, it was a very momentous weekend.
And is it something that will replicate? I know that there are strong ties now between the hurling communities, in not only in Belfast, but only also in the Glens and Tipperary.
Yeah, it possibly will. You know, I mean, maybe there'll be a return trip by Antrim down towards, you know, and that'll be nice. It'll be nice to see them coming down here as well.
It's worth reminding people of Father Alec Reid's contribution to the priest process, but also his great quote that when he said, God is everywhere, but he spends most of his time in Tipperary. He was a very proud Tipperary man.
He was very, yes. And he played minor with Tipperary back in 1959, I think, at the same time as the scriptwriter that used to be the Tipperary star. He was in goals that time. I think he was captain. So, you know, there's a lot of references to that. But, we have a good bit on it in the convention booklet this year.
I think the biggest nettle you had to grasp in the last 12 months, correct me if I'm wrong, has been the whole issue of structures, not only at inter-county level, but also at club level. And I think you've set out the pros and cons. And I suppose whenever a new structure comes in, there are some pros and there are some cons. And it depends which side of the fence you're on as to whether the glass is half full or half empty when it comes to these things.
Yeah, but look, I mean, there was a lot of motions in relation to that at the November meeting. And, you know, while I suppose technically... You could have ruled some out of order on the basis that it was going to be very, very difficult to fit him into the time frame that we had. But look, we entertained all the motions and we heard all the pros and cons in relation to them. And, you know, at the end of the day, what has come in really is going to be a test on our structures as to how we're going to manage it. And I think I call it an April stress test, trying to get through April, especially in our Tipperary. It's going to be very difficult because you're trying to pack in four hurling weekends, and especially if Kildangan gets to the North Senior Hurling Final, they'll also be involved in the senior football because they got promoted to senior football this year. Mm. So it'll be a difficult period. But once we get over that period and get into the end of August, when we're into the actual county championship, you know, it should have panned out at that stage, and we should know where we're going. But it will be a test, yeah.
Well, I put the question to Michael Burke last week, and I'll put it to you. I asked Michael what would happen in the event of maybe losing two weekends if Storm Ophelia or Hurricane Ophelia came back, and we know that the County Under 21 Hurling Final, for example, was postponed this weekend because of inclement weather. I do appreciate that it's December. And Michael's response was, the show's over if you lose two weekends. There's no wiggle room whatsoever.
That's a problem. I mean, you're looking at midweek and you're looking at trying to pack him in, you know, and in dark nights, you know, depending on floodlit venues. And that's why I say it's going to be the challenge. There's very little room to manoeuvre in the motions that come in. And, you know, we could very easily have rejected them on that basis that, you know, we haven't got enough of a time frame here to complete this. But look, it's a democratic system. The clubs come in with it and the clubs will have to accept it now. And at the end of the day, if we can get through the next 2 years, 18 and 19, by the time we reach 2020, we'll have a very evenly balanced, you know, we should be where we set out to be a few years ago. We'll have 16 in senior teams, 16 in Ryan 2, and then 16 intermediate teams, which we should make for a lot more manageable at that stage.
I know there were moves afoot to perhaps rebrand Ryan Nadeau as Premier Intermediate. Has that been shelved, and what's your view on it?
No, that's still a choice in the strategic plan. I mean, they're finalising the strategic plan this week, and it'll be going to print in the next week or so. But once it's approved, the county management. But that is still part of the I suppose, the plan in the year 2020. But I suppose at the end of the day, it's up to the clubs. It's got to decide that too. But even as it is, it's really a question of what way you're going to manage it in 2020. You know, do you just accept it as being Ryan 1 has been Dan Breen and Ryan 2 has been a Premier Intermediate? Or do you, you know, it's a question of who comes into the Dan Breen competition from the divisions. And I suppose that's where the problem will arise.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because, this is a point that's been well aired and oxygenated over the course of the last few weeks, is that if you look at the West Senior Hurling Championship and look at the North Senior Hurling Championship, the effort to win the West and the effort to win the North are disproportionate, yet the reward is the same, a preliminary quarterfinal.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that has always been the problem with the divisional system. And we had it in the major hurling back 7 or 8 years ago, but it's only now that it's highlighted in senior hurling that people are really becoming aware of it. But there's going to be an imbalance, and we just have to, to see how it pans out now over the next 2 years. And hopefully by the time we reach 2020, that there will be a realisation as to where we are with regard to, 16 decent senior teams in the county.
Okay. If I was to summarise, and maybe I'm overly paraphrasing, but this new structure is good for the club player but not necessarily good for an inter-county player?
Well, it's going to be very hard on our inter-county players, and the other thing that's going to clubs haven't really seen the light of day is when players, if we happen to get to an Allianz League final in at the end of March, you're going to become straight in after 6 weekends in a row playing Allianz League games, and straight in the following Sunday into club Hurling Championship. And if you're from North Tipperary, you'll be facing into 3 or 4 Sundays in a row there as well. And that's where the big test is going to be. I mean, how are players going to be after coming after those 5 or 6 games in the Allianz League, going straight into club hurling? And the clubs could suffer at that stage. They won't be getting the best out of their inter-county players.
I know, and it presents new challenges and unique challenges to Michael Ryan and his backroom team.
It definitely does, and definitely to our backup team, the people we have doing the strength and conditioning and our physios and everything, yeah, because it's going to be a very difficult period how to manage all of that.
I know this perhaps is a question for Michael Power, the County Board Treasurer, as opposed to yourself, but getting to the league final is worth a fair few bob to us, isn't it?
Well, it always is, we're very fortunate that the managers that we have, going right back, Eamon O'Shea and Liam Sheedy and Mick Ryan, that they've always gone for the league, and we've always got to the closing stages of it, and you're talking about €100,000 here, and it's not all about money. It is about money when you're trying to pay the bills, and look, you're looking around the county, financial reports are coming in from all over the place, and see the cost it is of paying for the overheads of running county teams. And we've been fortunate for the last couple of years that we've been showing healthy surpluses, really, and look, if we've got to be very, very careful, and it has got to be prudently managed all the time.
Well, I know you've asked the question in previous reports, where are all the crowds gone? And just to take the county senior hurling final this year, 8,076 people passed through the stiles. What may shock some people is of that 8,000 people who passed through the stiles, 1,328 of them were on a free pass.
Well, I wouldn't say they were on a free pass now. Some of those would have purchased the season passes at the start of the year. But there is nearly up to 1,000 of match passes that are out there at the concessionary prices at €25 per head at the moment. And therefore, match officials, umpires, and look, in all fairness, they're well deserved, because those fellas at the peak of the season, they're out every Sunday and out a couple of times a week. And then we have our former All-Ireland medal holders. We always look after those concessionary passes as well.
Is there too many in circulation?
But we give 6 to every club as well. I mean, every club, and that was the motion that was passed many years ago. And look, I suppose there's very hard workers out there, volunteer workers in clubs, and it's a little token to recognise the hard work that they're doing. So, you spread across 6 across the 3 offices of the senior club and 3 offices of their board, juvenile club in every parish at 72 clubs, and you're not long coming up as far as 600 or 700 passes,
Well, if there isn't too many in circulation, are they underpriced? At €25? Well,
that's what we're looking at, maybe. That's an area that we can look at. Just the great value, even if they were double the price. You're getting to every single match, adult match now, because I don't allow them to be used at Porto No games. But you're going to every single match in the county, in the divisions, and there's still great value at that.
Okay. I know that the Jason Ford incident, I don't know what to call it, this Jason Ford affair maybe is probably a better word, is something that exercised you quite a bit. It exercised a lot of our listeners when it happened. I suppose whenever you're going to any judicial process, you want justice not only to be done, but justice to be seen to be done. One thing that you raise in your report, and I know we oxygenated it at the time, was the fact that Jason was subsequently found guilty of something that he wasn't charged with in the first place, which doesn't seem like natural justice to me.
Yeah, well, that's the problem we had, really, you know. I mean, we originally went up on an assault charge, and we got him cleared of that, but then there was a totally new charge introduced, and that's what really, I suppose, got
one done. That he wasn't allowed to defend himself against.
Well, exactly, yeah. And I mean, then the whole definition of a melee, and I've gone through that. I mean, the melee was, I think, was classified by the hearings as anything more than two people, which is totally, you know, and I've even put through a motion to try and correct that this year, which was approved by my club the other night. But I mean, I'm not so sure it'll even be accepted, because I'm told now that the motions like that are only accepted every 5 years, because it's to do with rule change, and I don't know how that could be a rule change, but I have to get that clarified before the weekend.
Well, you were on your feet at Congress this year in Croke Park, arguing strongly and articulately in favour of a different structure to the one we got for our senior hurling championship in 2018. As you reflect on that on your Christmas dinner, Tim, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I still feel very strong about that. I just feel very strong that the club player has been deprived of summer hurling. You know, okay, you can say he have his county leagues and he'll have other games apart from championship. But I mean, the real championship hurling for clubs now is gone. And you know, while we brought in a certainty in relation to fixtures, the definite we brought in a certainty that you'll have no matches during the summer, which I think is totally wrong. And I think it's not what, especially hurling, what it's all about. I mean, hurling should be played in the summer. We're now playing it in April, which the threat of bad weather on top of us, and going right into September, October. You know, in the best months of the year, we're limited just to playing league games. And I still feel very strong that shouldn't be the case. You know, we've got to facilitate our club hurlers as well as our inter-county players, because at the end of the day, it is our club that it's all about.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I know that there's plans abroad for Dr. Morris Park, some of which Michael spoke about last week, so I won't revisit those. But Tim, I need to take an ad break, but what I want to do is thank you for all your you're so obliging to us here on Tip FM over the course of the last 12 months, and I look forward to working with you in the course of the next 12 as well.
Many thanks, Ron, and God bless you too.
And happy Christmas to everybody up in Newport.
Many happy returns.
Thanks indeed, Tim. Best of luck to you. And good luck, and thanks. That's Tim Floyd, County Board Secretary, joining us there, and congratulations to him on his report. You can read that online, and I'm sure lots of talking points in relation to it. I didn't have time to put everything to Tim this evening. We have a break to take. We'll be back with the outgoing chairman of the Football Board, Joe Hannigan, right after this commercial break.
With Ronan Quirk.
With John Kennedy Motors Clonmel, the home of Toyota Hybrid in Tipperary. With incredible fuel economy and great finance offers, we are making the change even easier. Visit johnkennedymotors.ie. Toyota, built for a better world.
You're welcome back. Our text number is 083-311-3311. We're also on Twitter at TipFM Sport is our Twitter handle. Changing of the guard at this time of the year, and no more so than in the Tipperary Football Board. Joe Hannigan, outgoing chairman, joins me on the line. Hi, Joe.
Good night, Ronan. How are you?
Good night, good evening, and good luck.
Good morning, yeah.
I don't know what time zone you're in. Maybe you're joining me live from the Antipodes or something. Yeah, anyway,
exactly,
Joe, I know you're a hard-working man, so day merges into night at this time of the year. It must have been difficult since your foray into politics and your role as a county councillor, balancing that and chairman of the football board.
Yeah, sure, there's a lot of balls in the air there, Ronan, but I suppose you love being involved in the football in particular. We'll say I really enjoyed it. At times you were probably just stretched a small bit all over the place, especially during the general election there. But there was a lot of things going on there together. But look, I think everything has worked out pretty well. You know, I'd be kind of happy with everything. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to ask you this, but seeing as how you mentioned general election, you obviously won't have the county football board chair on your back if a general election is called in the spring. Would you be putting your name in the hat?
Oh, sure, God only knows. We'll kick for touching that one. With a week is a long time in politics, we'll say, but the last time, I suppose, the opportunity I seen it there was in the fact that there was a large portion of Tipperary in Offaly, and
yes.
to try and to sort of like, people up here had nobody to vote for as such and were very disheartened by that. So I said, look, I'll have a cut at it. And look, we hit the crossbar, so to speak. So, you know, what the future bodes, nobody knows really. But look, at the moment, I certainly wouldn't have been standing if the election had to be called there.
Before Christmas. Well, yeah. I tell you what, Joe, I'll let Fran Curry ask you that question the next time. I'll talk
thanks
about
for that one.
It's all right. I'll ask you about the highs and lows. And I know what my biggest disappointment was in the course of your tenure, and that was probably the night in Parnell Park in the under 21 final. Would that be the biggest disappointment you faced?
Yeah, I thought that definitely was one got away, but it's sort of like it's the way the whole evening, you know, happened.
It was just a bad night, like, you know, yeah, there was tragedy night. And everything, you know.
Yeah, tragedy, the Brown family and whatnot. And, you know, I think that was one we had in the bag. And I suppose, I think the gods contrived against us a small bit there. You know, it definitely would have been massive for Tipperary if we had to get over the line. To be beaten by a pint, you know, was a real, you know, real kick in all right, Jim.
And it would have been a bunch of players that would have added a second All-Ireland title to go with their minor title in what it was arguably our greatest ever under 21 side. Now, somebody will text me and remind me of teams of old, but the best under 21 team I think I've seen.
Yeah, well, I suppose just a little bit in that is that it was the 11 teams that won the minor All-Ireland. This was would be the 12 minor team, which will suppose...
Got to a semi, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they were really, you know, their backbone in Tipperary at the moment. There was a number of great players there. You know, you have John McGrath and the Hurland. There was a lot of super, super players there. And, like, for not to win an All-Ireland, I suppose, was, you know... You know, a bit of a disappointment, really. They were definitely good enough to do it. You know, to get the Dubs a bit of a trimming in O'Connor Park, and they won a great Munster final against Cork. There was a lot of brilliant moments in that year. You know, to win it would have been massive. But look, it wasn't to be, and that didn't. You move on.
Yeah, indeed. And then you think about how our path and our progress to an All Ireland semi final, the way we dismantled Galway. I mean, with aplomb, and then. You know, had our chances against Mayo in an All-Ireland semi-final. I mean, these are heady days for Tipperary football.
Yeah, sure. There's a lot of progressive steps there over the years. You know, suppose the power of positive thinking, you know, the positive outlook and the goodwill that was there from the supporters in Tipperary towards the whole show in 2016, like, it just goes to show that, you know, the embers that were there from, I suppose, winning four All-Irelands back in the day, last one in 1920, like, that's there, and it was brought out that day. Like, it was 56,000 people in Croke Park, and I think we outnumbered the Mayo people that day. So, like, you know, to get there, I think, you know, there is a belief there now that this group of players have the potential to achieve, and I suppose the goodwill that's in the county. I, you know, even had it today. I was at a council meeting, two fellas walking through with 20 quid for the Friends of Tipperary Football for the membership draw. I didn't even have to ask them, you know. So, like, there's great goodwill out there, and yeah. I think that there is a belief there that these guys have the potential to achieve, and hopefully, you know, I'm a very positive kind of a guy, I like to think, and I think that. You know, I looked forward to 2018. You know, there's a lot to like about where we're going.
Yeah, absolutely. We're in Division 2 as well.
Division 2, yeah. There's been great years there. To be in the minor final in 15, under 21 final in 15, you know, to be in a quarter, the semi-final of the All-Ireland in 16 after winning, you know, some great games to get there. You know, in Division 3 last year, 17 against the Head. You know, with a lot of the 16 team not available, they're all progressive steps, and you know, we have the ingredients there to achieve further in the future. And I think that for our challenge now is for Tipperary to realise that potential, I believe a Munster final is possible, and thereafter, you know, God knows, you know, that is an All-Ireland success too far away when you can achieve that. You know,
well, it's a squad that has the addition of Stephen O'Brien, an All-Ireland minor winner,
John Maher,
a sensational All-Ireland minor winner,
yeah.
And a number of the beaten All-Ireland minor team from a few years ago who are now maturing into a senior team.
Yeah, look, I think there's no doubt we have the players, we have the management structures, we have a conveyor belt coming through. Our county board has been very, very good. The football board has, you know, done Trojan work as well. The Friends of Tipperary Football, Lord, like the part they're playing is unbelievable. And of course, the supporters, they're there. And, you know, geez, I think it is very, very close, I think. And now, as you mentioned about my passing the reins over to Barry O'Brien, he's the guy with the 2020 vision, remember. And, you know, hopefully now that it'll all... You know, FATE, as I said at our AGM, is a massive thing for me. And I think that I believe that definitely we're on the cusp of something great. And
Barry was chairman, I think, in 2011, wasn't he?
He was 2011, yeah.
He was chairman, County Board chairman.
And, you know, we say, you know, we have, well, I suppose, the whole county has to consider what happened in 1920 when, you know, what happened to Michael Hogan in Croke Park on the 21st of November. And, I mean, I think we owe it to the tradition of these people that we put our shoulder to the wheel, really, over the next number of years. And I'd be appealing to all the supporters to come out and support the football. And, you know, the whole county support the football. While look, we're a predominantly a hurling county. We are a hurling county. And that's brilliant. We cannot forget our football history either. And the tradition is there, you know, has to be realised. And, you know, I think that before 2020, as we said, we'd have a cut at achieving what would be the Holy Grail. I think that, you know, we'll keep that positive frame of mind for that, you know.
And in the course of that, when you had to go out and look for a replacement for Peter Creedon, the Tipperary brand, and I know Michael Ryan has spoken about the brand of Tipperary, but he was referring predominantly to the senior hurlers. But the Tipperary brand, from a football point of view, is something that it will attract the likes of Liam Kearns and managers of his ilk.
Yes, I mean, over the years, what I would say to you, Ronan, is there has been brilliant management in place at all levels in the county. The coaching and games and the development of football in the county and people that are working voluntary there at underage, that's all feeding into a situation where there's a conveyor belt of players. I think all top-class managers, like Liam Kearns, realised that that potential is there, and they were mad to get their hands on that team. Like, to be honest with you, if the truth be known about the whole process of picking a manager to replace Peter when we reached on Liam, you know, his presentation that night down in St. Elby's in Tipperary Town, when he made a presentation to what we had an executive put in place to deal with the appointment of management, you know, he really wanted that job. You could see it, and he sold himself well, and he brought forward to us, like, what he could bring to the table. And I mean, he has done that. And I mean, the fellas that are working with him are top class men as well. He's brought in good guys in the county like Shane and Fitzy, and like we have one of our own back again, Brian Lacey, and all those guys that are working hard in the back room. Like, we really, really have, he's brought forward a top class management team, and the players are really buying into it. And you know, that's when you're, as you said, you know, Tipperary is a brand that a lot of top-class managers want to get their hand on, and thankfully we'll keep that going for the future, you know.
Well, Joe, in my time here in Tip FM, I don't think I've ever spoken to you when you haven't been in a positive humour or a positive frame of mind, and thank you for that. I'm going to miss our chats, and I look forward to meeting you at Tip football matches for many, many years to come.
Oh, yeah, sure, we're not going away at all. I'll be still there. I'm still knocking around. But, Joe, I must say as well, to both your Ian there and yourself, and you've sort of massive courts towards me and towards Tipperary football while I've been involved, and look, thanks for that. And I think that, you know, the power of the media is massive in Tipperary. Everybody's very positive, and that's the way to be, and we're all working together is the way forward. And I look forward to 2018, and I would just say to all your listeners before I leave, you know, the Friends of Tipperary football have their membership going on at the moment for £20, and I would look in all the four divisions as people with tickets, I would look to sort of ask those people, you know, go out and look for those tickets, don't have to be asked, and really support it. I think we're really, really, I think the boys deserve your support. I think the whole operation deserves your support, and I think that it's coming. We have to keep that going now. And look, just signing off, then, Ron, and look, thanks very much to them and to yourselves for all you've done, and to Ian there, and all the commentary teams that you've had along as well. They've been massive. You know, we look forward to 2018, and as I say, handing over to Barry, a very positive person as
yes,
well.
Yes, indeed.
I tell you, myself, Conrad, vice chair, top class yes, people. You know?
Absolutely, myself, yourself, and Walty must go for a cup of coffee sometime, and we'll reminisce.
And don't forget Walty. Walty's one of life's gentlemen.
I know that absolutely. Yes, listen, all the best and happy Christmas to everyone up in Shannon Rovers.
Yeah, thanks. Ron.
Thanks indeed. Take care. That is Joe Hannigan, outgoing chairman of Tipperary Football Board. He hands over to Barry O'Brien of Claheen. Text numbers 083 311 3311. Busy man over the course of the last few years. So many highs and lows on Tipperary football. So many near misses. But then again, those of us who were lucky enough to be around as Tip progressed to that All-Ireland semi-final those 2 years ago will take a long time before we forget it. We'll take a quick commercial break.
Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
With John Kennedy Motors Clonmel, the home of Toyota Hybrid in Tipperary. With incredible fuel economy and great finance offers, we are making the change even easier. Visit johnkennedymotors.ie. Toyota, built for a better world.
You're welcome back. Our text number is 083-311-3311. One texter is a bit concerned about the under 21 final. He says, I see the under 21 county final fell foul to the weather yesterday. Last weekend, when a team was forced to play 2 days in a row, this game could not be postponed. Was it a matter of life or death? Did it have to go ahead? To hell with the players. And I think that that's probably somebody from Clonalty who is still feeling aggrieved perhaps about the fact that Clonalty had to play two games in the space of 24 hours last weekend, the West under 21 final and then the county semi-final. But I understand that that county under 21A hurling final is rescheduled for next weekend. Stay tuned to Tip FM. Close to the time, we'll get you times, dates and venues. Let's go to rugby because John Long, who's the manager of Nina Ormond, is on the line. Hi John, how are you?
Hi Ron, how are you?
Good. God, any day you beat Blackrock College in a rugby match is a good day.
Yeah, back to back is even better, I suppose. Yes. Another good weekend. This is only so two good wins against a big team.
Important to keep winning. Important to keep the pressure on, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, you have to. You can't afford to take your foot off the ball, really. And they're all big games, and they're all very competitive. And it's a big job to get it to get on the right side of it.
I'm looking at the table. I mean, Malone had a win against, was it Galway Corinthians? Highfield won as well against Galwegians.
Yeah, yeah. And they both got bonus point wins, which was we didn't manage to get. But it's still very tight there in the top three, four, you know.
At this stage in the season, I suppose, you know, injuries can kind of pretty much deplete a squad as fellas start to go down on these kind of weather. You're still staying relatively good shape with those.
We're not too bad, yeah. We were missing two or three guys from injury, but we were lucky there were two guys coming back too, so they balanced each other out. But making a big change in a pivotal position in the team can affect performances. But luckily enough, the guys who stood up did their job and were able to carry on.
Difficult enough weekend for Cashel. They had a long trip up to Armagh. I mean, I suppose those long spins across the border are always going to take its toll on a team. They probably overnight, do they? I know you do mostly, don't you?
Yeah, I think most teams do. I'm sure Cashel do as well. It's a big trip, and the journey up alone is tiring. Never mind trying to get your head right and body right for the 80 minutes of rugby. So it's hard going, but you kind of just have to prepare yourself for them a couple of times a year and try and do your best at it.
Because you're guaranteed at least two trips north, I think, with you've Armagh, you've got Malone, you've Queens.
Yeah, yeah, you have to play them all up there, so there's a few trips up, and as I say, it is hard on the lads. It's hard to prepare yourself.
Yeah, I suppose your match day preparation kind of goes a bit out of the window as opposed to a game in Lissatoni where you can pretty much, you know exactly how you're going to be at what time and where everyone's going to be.
Absolutely, yeah. Like most lads have the usual rituals on game day, you know. But as you say, if you're away from home and on an overnight, where everything is different, and it's just about getting your head right and getting ready for it in whatever way you can.
Can I ask you about Munster's performance against Leicester, as I have you? Because that's a decent win, because it gives Munster a bonus point as well, crucial bonus point, and puts them in the driving seat, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It was a massive game, massive win for them, you know. It's always good to be a team like Leicester, and it'll be a hard trip to play them away, but to carry on the way they went Saturday night, they'll do a good job.
Back-to-back games against the same opposition brings its own challenges, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It's very much for and against it. I suppose it's the same challenges for both sides, but where a team falls down, they can learn a lot from it, you know, and it's always a way different game the following week.
So if you were to look at next week, even would you kind of take a losing bonus point, or should they? Is that just been a little bit too glass half empty?
Yeah, a small bit. I suppose they will be on a massive high from the win, and I'm sure they won't go in with any other outlook than a win. You know, it's whatever happens in that 80 minutes. You know, you can never really tell.
Listen, one last thing I want to touch on you, as I have you, and that's Kilfeekle. Now, I know junior rugby is something that is in the distant memory of some of people up in Nina, but you did have a 100-year-long tradition, of glorious tradition in junior rugby. But
yeah.
A great win for Kilfeekle against Newcastle West to go into an All-Ireland final. Now, and it's a relatively new competition, but at the end of the day, it's still an All-Ireland final.
Absolutely. Any final you can get your club into is massive. Be it junior or senior, you know, it's still a high event to be in and a high achievement to get to a final in it, you know. So they should be really buzzing forward and looking forward to it.
They're a good cup side, aren't they?
It's a great side. Like they're always a very big thorn in Nina's side and us and theirs, I think. But they're a good club, really good club, solid guys down there.
Yeah, I mean, they were winning junior cups and junior challenge cups. You know, when their league form wasn't always great, they were still a great cup side, underday in the hill, no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what, they could put on a performance and really turn it on, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, John, continued success to you. Who's up next, by the way, in Lissatoni?
With Cashel. On the 5th of January in Nina, so it should be a Friday night game under lights, so it'll be a big game and hope we get a big crowd out to it.
On the 5th of January?
5th of January, yeah.
Well, if that's not the eve of Women's Christmas, how else would the women of North Tipperary like to spend their eve of Women's Christmas other than in Lissatoni watching Cashel against Nina Ormond? That is the place to be. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Mary Nolan.
Take it easy and the best of luck. That is John Long, who's the manager of Nina Ormond. Continued success to them. Great, great club, and we wish them well. Our text number is 083-311-3311. And we had Joe Hannigan on, the most positive man when it comes to football. One texter says, Ronan, what's Stephen O'Brien doing going back to football with a Munster and All-Ireland medal in his back pocket? Well, I'd say now Stephen is old enough and mature enough to make his own decisions, and I think you've got to respect the decisions that he makes as opposed to sort of questioning them. And I wish Stephen all the very best of luck in his continued career in a blue and gold jersey, irrespective of whatever code that is, and wish him every success and more medals to him and more success to him. 083-311-3311. Joined in studio as always by Jamie O'Flaherty. How are you, Jamie?
Good one, and thanks.
Not an awful lot to talk about, but before we do, I just want to talk about Paddy Turner, who's a man you know very, very well, and most of us know him, and most of us, I don't think anyone has a bad word to say about him. He's a very likeable man who's been involved with Clonmel Town for many, many years. Now, the reason we're mentioning him tonight is because he has been awarded the Cannon Hayes Volunteer Award after many, many years, in fact, a lifetime service to his club.
Absolutely. I tell you, for me, it couldn't have been won by a better person. He's probably the best known unsung hero, I suppose, in Tipperary football. And after giving 40 years of service to Clonmel Town in a range of roles, really, it's just truly deserved. And I think everybody in Tipperary was so happy when they heard that Paddy had won it, because even though I think for opposing teams and players he's abused every one of them, he's called them every name under the sun, but for some reason they all seem to like him afterwards. He's able to say it in a way that's a likable way, if you like. And
it's an art, actually.
It is. And but no, I'd say he hasn't an enemy in football. I think everybody loves Paddy, and it's just fantastic achievement for him. I'm thrilled to bits for him personally myself.
I was speaking to him today, and he did make the valid point that anyone who's nominated for that Volunteer in Sport Award at the Cannon Hayes, they're all equally deserving, and it must be quite a difficult for the adjudicators to come up with one over the others. But he's gracious in that, and I wish him. I'm delighted for him. He's a good guy, one of the good guys in junior football. And long life and happiness to him. I look forward to seeing him behind the goals. He's a great man for going after balls, isn't he?
He is, and every match even. I mean, he's linesman for most matches still. He's in his 70s now, and he still mans the complex one night a week. Whenever there's tickets to be sold, he sells more than anybody else. He's there for Churchgate collections, and he travels to every match. And he's just a fantastic servant.
Yeah, and a great guy. Well, anyway, many congratulations to him. I'm actually going to come back to you in a second, because there's a guy I've been trying to get for a few minutes now, Sean Tobin. He's actually in transit at the moment, but he joins me on the line. Sean, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good, good. Congratulations on your performance at the European Cross Countries. Talk to us about it. Conditions, were they to your liking? And what was it like representing your first international senior event?
Yeah, it was an interesting one. It was very cold out there, so certainly haven't been in temperatures really like that in quite a while. So, but it was interesting. It was nice, obviously, to get out there for the first time in senior vest. I really wanted to just make sure that I wasn't there, like just the participant. I wanted to get out and put in a good performance, you know. And kind of put myself in the race and started struggling midway through, but luckily I had Kevin Mansell with me and came by me and gave me a slap in the back and pulled me along till finish, and two of us worked hard together the whole way. So
extraordinary to have two Tipperary men in the national seniors team and also two Clonmel AC men.
Oh, it was a wonderful feeling, to especially to have another club mate with me. It's just to have two of us beside each other on our debut, you know, it was an amazing feeling. Just, and the whole way through the race, it was just, we were feeding off each other's energy and just kept pushing along. You know, it's this crazy thing that, you know, just two lads from Clonmel were putting it up against, you know, some of Europe's best. So it was a great feeling.
I know that you had a successful end to your cross-country season in the US, becoming an All-American, which is a big deal in the athletics world over there. Obviously, the temperatures that you're running cross-country in Mississippi and elsewhere are kind of different to Eastern Europe.
Yeah, certainly. I know conditions were quite good our last few races over in the States. So in Slovakia now, I wore a T-shirt under my vest and a pair of gloves, and I still had a hard time warming up, and even till the last minute tried to keep as much layers on as possible. So but it was certainly a good experience, and just the whole way through the race though it was tough to warm up, but we're still able to kind of get out there and mix it up with everyone.
You were the first Irishman home, and the team finished fifth. Very, very credible to fifth.
We were pleased with it, and the last couple of years the Irish team has struggled. They've been second last to these championships last, and like, it's been struggling for a couple of years, and I think it was very unexpected. For I think no one expected the three of us to come out and perform like that, put us fifth, and we were just 2 points off France, which is two places, you know. So we missed out in four, you know, and I think it gave a lot of people a belief that, you know, again, that we can come back next year and medal, you know, especially with the top three scores, you know, all was their debut for each of us. So certainly believe that we can come back next year and walk away with medals.
When you look at it as well, like, the European sport is somewhat tainted, not tainted, but is coloured by the fact that you have Turkey in particular, you know, using Kenyan-born athletes, which kind of doesn't exactly give us a level playing field, does it?
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate, obviously, and I don't know really how a country could kind of look at that and kind of have pride in someone like that winning medals for them. But at the end of the day, they're going to be there for quite a while. So it's just a matter of us, you know, kind of stepping it up and realizing that, you know, if we want medals, we need to compete with these guys, and we need to put ourselves in place to beat them. So I think it certainly helped raise the standard.
What's next for Sean Tobin? Are you going back to the States?
I got 2 weeks at home just to sit back and relax, enjoy some time with the family, and you know, we'll get ready for a big indoor season.
Indoors and then outdoors probably in late spring, early summer?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Sean, on your first international senior debut, huge congratulations to you and to Kevin as well. It's great for Tipperary Athletics, great for Clonmel Athletic Club as well. It's good talking to you. I know you're travelling at the moment. I'll let you go, but stay in touch. We'll talk to you in the new year.
Well, thank you very much.
Take it easy, Sean. That's great. That's Sean Tobin, international athlete, and coming back from Slovakia after the European Cross Country Championships, where he represented Ireland in the senior men's field, and also joined on that team of five by Kevin Mansell of Clonmel Athletic Club, which is a great achievement, isn't it, Jamie?
Absolutely fantastic. Fantastic achievement. Yeah, I'd seen Sean quite a bit. He'd be training in the complex, and he's a type of athlete, you know, he's running around the track. You barely hear him travelling, you know, he almost glides across the surface. Beautiful technique, and, you know, he's doing fantastically well for himself.
Yeah, and continued success to him. We were talking about Paddy Turner. Let's talk about events on the field as well, because there wasn't an awful lot of the inclement weather kind of did a lot for us. But I suppose the standout tie was the Munster Junior Cup third round. Clonmel Town coming off the success of their FAI win over RD the previous week, but Peakvilla came and turned them over. Another missed penalty for Clonmel Town.
Yeah, it was. And I suppose whenever these two teams meet for the last number of years now, there's very little between the two sides. Clonmel Town won on the last occasion, and when possibly Peak Villa were the better side. And, you know, Peak Villa came out on top this time around. As you said, I think the game really turned on that penalty miss because Peak Villa had a player sent off as well. And, yes, yeah, the second week in a row they've missed it. It's easy in hindsight to look at it and say, Tony Scully back on the pitch with his experience, could he have taken it? But Keith Brown has been successful with quite a few, so he took it. It didn't go his way. And, you know, Peak Villa held on to their 2-0 advantage at half-time. And as I said, I think that was key. If Clonmel Town had pulled one back at that stage, they'd have fancied themselves. It's a completely different mindset going into the second half. But, you know, credit to Peak Villa. Dylan Guiry did pull one back. They had to play the last, you know, the entire second half with 10 men, but hold on to that one goal advantage for the last 30 minutes. And they did, and you know, they were worthy winners, I have to say that.
We spoke last week about a shot in the arm to Clonmel Town season getting into the last 32 of the FAI. Same question applies now to Peak Villa. I think they've Nina Celtic away in the next round.
No, absolutely. It was a crucial win for them because I think, you know, people were beginning to ask questions about this Peak Villa side. Are they really progressing? How good are they? How good can they become? You know, is this as good as they get? And I'm happy that, you know, in some ways that this shows that they are improving because I think they play the right way. They have a system under James O'Sullivan that works for them. It suits their players. They get it down, they pass it, they try and play out from the back. It's easy on the eye, it's nice to look at, and they've some very good players. And you know, it's good for them that they're going to be involved in the competition after Christmas now.
Difficult draw though, because, you know, well, Nina Celtic are, you know, they're still in the FAI Junior Cup as well. So, I mean, maybe their league form belies what a good cup side they are.
No, absolutely. I've said it many times when I think Nina Celtic's biggest problem is getting their strongest 11 on the pitch every week. They have a number of players working away. They've others who, you know, they're carrying knocks and they can play in the bigger games and then need to sit out a couple of games. And but I think when they have everybody available, they've proven time and time again that they're a match for anybody. And that's going to be possibly the tie of the round in the next round. It's one really to look forward to, I think.
Very quickly, your thoughts on the FAI last 32 draw. Now, Carrick have an either or, if, buts, whatever, so we'll leave them to one side for a moment. Town got Talca Rovers away.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Look, you're just hoping for a home draw, aren't you? That's going to be a tough one. I think Clonmel Celtic have a tough one too against Newmark, but at least they're at home. St Michael's travelled to Ballinasloe. That looks tough on paper. Nina Celtic at home to Mervew, good tradition. And Galbally face the second favourite, Usher Celtic. What a cracker that could be.
Well, I'm looking forward to going to that one because I want to see Usher come down to Galbally and, you know, can they do it in Galbally on a wet Sunday in January?
That's the question, isn't it? It's one we all look forward to. It would be fantastic if Galbally could turn them out.
Absolutely. That would be the tie that will get the tons wagon to get them into the last 16. That is pretty much all we've time for. My thanks to Jamie. My thanks to everyone who contributed to tonight's show. Ian O'Connor produced. Trudy Lauder's up next with Shades of Green. We'll be back next week. Take care.